Morning. So, of course, since the entire year we've been talking about returning to our roots and, you know, everything that we see going on in the body of Christ right now, especially in the Western world, in America, is God is really shaking the church. But one of the things is don't get discouraged because God's the one doing it. It's not the devil. God is shaking things, uprooting things so that he can reestablish the church and bring us back to the original intention. So starting next month, I'm going to talk a lot more about the ecclesia and the blueprint that God gave us, what the church should look like, getting back to our roots, going back to the grassroots of who we are, everything that the church has become commercialized and everything in America, getting back to the heart of who we are. You know, and it's not rocket science. It's pretty clear in scripture, getting back to deliverance and prayer and worship and the word of God, equipping, releasing the saints to do the work of the ministry. That was what the early church looked like. And so last week, we talked about the importance of the word of God and how it was so important in the early church, how that we got the Bible that we have today. And so I want to kind of pick up from that and talk about the Word of God and how it comes together in our prayer life. Now, there's a lot of different types of prayers, ways of praying. Praying in the Spirit is one of them, and that's probably highlighted more here than probably most churches, which is really good. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how that when we go to the Word of God and we read the Bible, and sometimes even what we call devotions, how that we can take the time of reading God's Word and bring it together by faith and by prayer to release the power of the Word of God. And so I love this quote from E.M. Bounds. It says, "The Word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished." So the more that just think about this for a minute, the more that you know the Word and you have a revelation of the Word, the more that you can release that through your prayer life. And so, you know, Jesus, when he dealt with the Pharisees at one time, and no, the Pharisees knew the Bible backwards and forward, the Bible they had at that day, the Septuagint. They knew the Bible. They knew every word better than most people in the culture. They studied it. They went, if you would, to Bible college. They went to learn about the word. But Jesus says something very crazy to them that really probably ticked them off a lot. He said to them, he says, you search the scriptures and you think you have eternal life. And these because you search the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. You think because you know the scriptures that you have eternal life. But then he says this. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of, point to the scriptures. They pointed to him. He was standing right in front of them. Everything that they knew, everything that they had studied, everything that had been given to them in the old covenant, it was pointing to the one that was standing in front of them, and they did not see it. And then he says this, he says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So what we have to understand, just reading the Bible is not enough. Just studying the scriptures, if you would, is not enough. That we were meant, the Word of God, as we read it, it was meant to bring us into conversation with God. It was meant to reveal Jesus to us. You know, we know that in John chapter 1, it says that the Word of God became flesh. So when we talk about the Word, it is the revelation of who God has brought to us through Jesus Christ. And when we read the Word, it is revealing Jesus. And let me just say it this way, that when we have that approach in looking at the Word of God and reading the Word of God, that we can encounter Jesus Christ through the Word, through the Bible. And so Scripture was given to us as a conversation piece, to be able to talk to God, to hear what God is saying to us, and then to be able to pray that. And so we got to move from the study mode to the dialogue mode, where we're dialoguing with God, and that we are praying the Word of God as we read it. And so just think about this verse in John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus says this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if they are alive in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Now, that sounds like it can be just like we look at it as the blank check where God said, well, anything I ask. But he's saying that anything you ask when you abide in him and his words abide in you, because what you will ask will come from the revelation of that. It won't be some greedy thing like, yeah, I'm asking for a Cadillac or whatever it might be that you want. But it is the desires of the Lord that come alive in us by his word. And then all of a sudden, it's not selfish. It's not self-seeking. It's not for our pleasure. But we begin to ask for the things that Jesus would ask for, that we begin to desire the things that Jesus desires. So God's word living in us will cause new godly desires to be formed in us. So the word of God, when I'm reading it, it should have the encounter of it should be transforming me. It should be changing me. When I read the Bible, it's not that I got the reading done, I put the check mark, I got my reading today, or I read through the whole Bible, and that's good, but that I encountered the Word of God, and when I encountered it, it changed me. It changed the way that I think. It changed the way that I see. It changes the way that I hear. Everything is changed because the Word of God is alive. It's living. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. It's able to distinguish what is soulish and what is spirit-led. And so the Word of God becomes alive in us. So we judge everything. We look at our life. We look at our decisions. And we bring it into play with the Word of God alive in us. So I'm making decisions out of the Word. I'm living out of the Word. I'm believing out of the Word. I look to the future out of the Word. I look at my marriage out of the Word. I look at my parenting and grandpaing, I don't know, whatever, grandparenting, whatever. I look at it through the eyes of the Word of God. It becomes everything in my life. So what happens is prayer even becomes more enjoyable because our heart has been impacted by the Word of God. And so, I know that every one of us go through times where, you know, the reading the Bible becomes stale and all of that is normal, but just continuing to ask the Holy Spirit to make it alive within us again. And so I kind of breaking praying the Word of God into two categories. One is the promises to believe in. So when we see in the Word of God the promises of God, that we declare them and we believe them. We activate our faith. See, this is the only way I know how to say it is that we need to not just know the Bible, we need to get the Bible activated. And we activate the Bible by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when the Word of God gets in us, becomes alive in us, it is activated, and then all of a sudden I begin to declare the Word of God out of my mouth. And when I declare the Word of God out of my mouth, it begins to change things around me. Why? Because the Word of God has superiority. It has preeminence over all powers of darkness, over all the principalities, over all the things that the devil is doing. The Word of God has authority over that. So, you know, just think of this in the context like the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. They went up to the man that was possessed and they started trying to cast out the demons that were in him and saying, oh, by the word that Paul preaches, you know, that Jesus name, come out. And the demons just whooped him and beat all seven of them, of those guys up. It says they went out bleeding. This is what the Bible says. They went out bleeding and their clothes were tore off and they were running away. Why? They had the right words. They knew the right words, but they didn't have any faith that was backing those words. There was no, they weren't believing. They didn't have faith in that. And so what we have to understand, it's not just saying the right things, but it is the authority that is behind that is only activated by faith in our life. So when I read the Bible and I begin to read the promises of God, I'm wanting to activate those promises. Not just say, well, I read the Bible and just quote the verse. It's good to do that, but behind it, it has to be the faith of God and you believing what you're reading. You know, if you read something in the Bible that says God loves his people, then just stop there and begin to meditate on that. Think it and let it, something arise in you. Instead, you know, sometimes if you start praying the word of God, you're going to read a lot less, but you're going to get a lot more. Meaning that it's not about you finish five chapters today. Maybe you got locked on one verse and all day you were just meditating on it, thinking it, you were declaring it, you were praying it. And so, like, you know, a verse like, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you think about that verse and then you just begin to thank God for it. You begin to declare it. You begin to meditate on it. You get it activated in you. Lord, I'm so grateful that there is no condemnation in my life because I'm putting my life in you, Jesus. And all condemnation, you got to get out. Hit the road. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to lead me by your Spirit and I can walk in the Spirit today and overcome my flesh who wants to try to detour me, take me the wrong direction. So Lord, let your Spirit become alive in me so that I can walk after you and I don't have to surrender to condemnation in my life. Just begin to pray the word of God. How many know the word is anointed? So when we pray the word, we're combining our prayer life. We're combining our spirit man with the word of God. And we're releasing that to bring change. And where does change need to begin? Right here. So this is the reality, is when we begin to get authority in our own lives, it increases the authority to release the word of God, to change our community, to change our city. Amen? And so, first, we thank God for a truth that he's given it to us. We turn it into a declaration of thanksgiving and trust. For example, when reading Jesus loves you as the Father loves him, pray this. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me with the same intensity with which the Father loves you. Because sometimes we read things like that, but the reality is, do you really, really believe it? And sometimes it's in that moment that I can come out of that where my faith was at a lower level, but it increases where I'm beginning to really believe what God said. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is the word of hearing the word of God. So when it's not just hearing it in your ears, but it's hearing it in your heart, hearing it in your spirit man. And when you begin to hear the word and you begin to activate it and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like when they said to Jesus, Lord, we believe. And then right after they get done saying that, Lord, help me in my unbelief. That's kind of where we need to be. Yes, I believe it, God, but help me in any area of my heart where it doesn't believe what you said in your word so that it can be activated in our lives. And then that's when supernatural stuff starts happening. How many want to see that? That's his intention. That's the intention of the kingdom of God. And so, second, we ask God for more understanding of that truth. For example, while reading that Jesus loves you as the Father loves him, pray, Jesus, give me more understanding about how you love me with the same intensity with the Father loves you. So, Lord, it's good to read that verse, but Lord, help me to have a revelation of it. Because a lot of times I was saying something when we were praying this morning. Something that I knew, I've known for a long time. But there's a difference between knowing something and actually having a revelation of it. And it's become alive in you. And so that's what God wants to do. So, unfortunately, and I won't say this unfortunately, but there's a second part to our prayer declaration from the Word of God. The first part is discovering the promises and activating your faith and believing. But the second one is to obey what it actually says. This is kind of where American culture is kind of, you know, they know the Bible, but now that we know it, we actually are to obey it. And so when we come across scriptures that give us an exhortation to obey, we need to ask for the power of that word to come alive in us so that we can walk in obedience to the word of God. Many verses exhort us to obey related to our time, money, speech, work, attitudes, food, drink, eyes, sexuality, service, relationships. How many know the Bible covers every aspect of life, no matter what it is? relationships, family, marriage, money, jobs, and bosses, employees, kings, leaders, government, all the things of the whole, entire that you face in everything in life is covered in the Word of God. And when we allow the Word of God to come alive in us and we walk in obedience to it, there's a transformation that happens in our life as we allow the power of the Bible, the Word of God, to come alive in us. As we obey it, then all of a sudden everything is transformed. Everything has changed. And so Jesus exhorted his people to abide in love. Obeying this involves several things. It means to dwell on the focus on his love by searching it out and going deep in understanding. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. I encourage you to do two things. One, I do when talking to God in context to an exhortation to obey. First, I commit myself to obey the truth. And the second is asking the Holy Spirit to help me. So the first thing is I read the truth. How many know that every one of us do things that we know that we shouldn't do? And if you don't, then I want to meet you after service and shake your hand. So, but how many know it's not easy being obedient? We can lie and, you know, act like, yeah, it's easy for me. Every one of us struggle. Even Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Things I want to do, I don't do. Things I shouldn't do, I do. We all battle that. But see, this key has been taken out of the Christian culture in America because we so overemphasize certain things of grace, which I know you can't really overemphasize grace, but that we do it in a way that we have not equipped people to understand that your flesh wants to sin, but it's the Word of God that we allow to come alive in us and that we continue to pray over the obedience of what the Word says, that he would give us the strength to walk in that obedience. And it's a daily struggle. It's a daily fight. You know, David said it best. He says, thy word have a hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's when we begin to depart or detach ourselves from the Word that all of a sudden our life is not empowered as it used to be to walk in obedience to him. And so it's allowing that to come back alive in us. So first, we commit to obey a truth. And second, we ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us in that truth. Whatever it may be, any category you can think of, you see the obedience in the Word, you read it, you confess it, and then you say, okay, Lord, I need help for this. I need help to love my enemy. I need help to pray for those who despitefully use me. Because that's what it says to do, but man, my flesh wants to give them, you know, the fivefold ministry. My flesh wants to do something that God doesn't want me to do. So it's asking for the empowerment to do that. And there's such benefits in our life when we begin to pray the Word of God. I was thinking about this, that it's in the book of Hosea where it says, take words with you. It really struck my heart again when I was reading. Take words, come, return to the Lord. But when you come, bring words with you. Now, what you have to understand is those words, look what it continues in that verse. It says, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips, the words of love, trust, and obedience. We say, when I come to the Lord, I bring words with me that I say to him. And sometimes I'm saying them to him, but it's also for my benefit because it transforms me when I talk to him, when I bring words to him. When you pray the word, you and the Spirit flow together, resulting in you being taught the way that is tailor-made for your life because the Holy Spirit's leading you. And then you begin to pray. according to how the Holy Spirit's leading you. You know, it even reminds me, like you don't think about what you're going to say when you go to before the judge. I'm saying this in Hillbilly translation, but when you what you say when you go before the judge, but the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. See, this is when you're in your day-to-day life and something begins to happen, something is going on, and then all of a sudden something comes alive in your brain and it is connected to, you know, from your spirit to your soul, and it's maybe a Bible verse. Don't just take that, oh, that's a nice thought. No, that's the Holy Spirit. And what should you do? You should declare that verse out of your mouth at that moment by faith, because God is wanting to enact that word in the situation, in the moment that you're in. It may even be during the time of temptation when you're going like, oh, I'm tempted. You know, I'm tempted to whatever the sin may be, that the Lord, that the word of God can rescue you in a moment, because in that moment, the Lord could bring the word alive in you. You could declare it, and all of a sudden, what was a temptation 5 seconds ago has completely no power over you now. Why? Because the word was enacted in that moment. And so, 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now, we know that this verse is not saying there's not teachers in the church. But ultimately, what we have to understand is the teacher is the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one teaching you. It's always amazing when somebody, after a church service, they'll say, well, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me today when you were preaching. And what they got from the Holy Spirit, going like, that, I don't even remember that in the message. What are you talking about? It's because everything is tailor-made for you by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He knows everything. And so he would be a good person to listen to, wouldn't he? And so when you begin to pray the word of God, just, you know, meditate on it. Do it slowly. Do it methodically. Just, and you don't have to scream or shout, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, and then at times, it would probably be good for you to write something down from that encounter with God and with his word, because you may need to, reference it even later. And I was thinking about this in the context of when we talk about in our prayer life. I believe that one of the greatest books of the Bible that can enrich your prayer life is probably not what you would think it would be, but it's the book of Revelation. Now, a lot of you think, because when you think of the book of Revelation, all you're thinking about is Armageddon, you know, the dragon, you know, all these things. But you know what the book of Revelation is called? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the book that John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, he receives the revelation of Jesus and he writes it down. And I love this because it's not the revelation of Jesus from the past, but it's the revelation of Jesus now and going into the future. And everything of the past, actually the power of those things were established who Jesus is and establishes the future. And, you know, like the lamb, marriage supper of the lamb, you know, the wife of the lamb, you know. And so the book of Revelation contains over 30 descriptions of who Jesus is. And I just want to show you a kind of a simple way of praying. I didn't come up with this. I'm not that smart, but it's called ARC, which means that you read the word, you come into agreement. I agree with that. You know, when we say amen, so be it, that means I agree. Don't say amen to something you don't agree with. So you come into agreement, and then you ask for a revelation of that. A lot of you, this is kind of where we miss it, is we'll go, oh, I've read that before. You don't know how deep and how rich things are in the Word of God. That no matter what he's already shown you, there's more to be seen. There's more to see. And one of the things I think is so powerful in our prayer life is this, the revelation that we can find of Jesus. And then the last one is to keep the prophecy, to keep that word. Revelation 22, verse 7, last chapter in the Bible. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. It's the only book where it says that you're going to be blessed if you read it, and then it ends with you're going to be blessed if you keep it. How many want to be blessed? So agreement is I come into agreement with what Jesus says and who Jesus is and what the description is about him. This is how we grow in the revelation of Jesus. This is the whole, kind of the whole purpose of being a Christian, is to grow in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, get, overcome sin, get demons out, all those kind, all that is to get to the end game, is that I'm going to marry I'm part of the bride that is going to marry the groom, the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. That's what the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that I'm getting to know him more and more until the day we go down the aisle. If you can deal with that kind of description. By speaking out of agreement with his personhood, we gain inspiration and insights that equip us to know more. The second thing is the revelation. We ask for the revelation of Jesus according to all the descriptions that we find there in the book of Revelation. And it reminds me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. He prays a prayer. We call it the apostolic prayer, that the Father may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what it's all about, the spirit of revelation and wisdom that is in the knowledge of who Jesus is. If church, if prayer, if worship, if the Bible doesn't ultimately lead us to a greater revelation of Jesus, then we wasted our time, because that is the end game, is to know him. And of course, the last one is keep the prophecy. We respond in practical ways as we ask for help to keep the prophecy. This refers to acting on the commands and the plans of Jesus described in the book of Revelation. We apply them to our lives by responding in faith and obedience to the specific truths about his name. And so let me give you an example of that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ, faithful witness, firstborn among dead. So we read that. Go to the next one. And here's how we activate that. Say it with me. First one, we come into agreement. Say it. Jesus, I thank you that you are the faithful witness of what the Father is like and of all truth. You are the truth. I thank you that you always tell the truth. I trust what you say because you are reliable. You took a stand for the truth that cost your reputation and your life. So we're activating the word, coming into agreement when we read it. The revelation now, let's just pray it. Holy Spirit, give me more insight into Jesus as the faithful witness. And then now we keep the prophecy. Say it with me. I commit to speak the truth regardless of what it costs me. Holy Spirit, help me to speak up for the truths that are not popular. So that's how we activate the Word of God as we are reading it. Go to the next one. This will, the firstborn from the dead. We'll come into agreement. Jesus, you are the firstborn from the dead. I thank you that you have supremacy over all, that you have power over death itself. Woo! That's good. Okay. All right. Revelation now. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me as God's firstborn from the dead. Teach me more about his supremacy over all things, including death. Now keep the prophecy. Jesus, I will serve you as the one who is preeminent by obeying you and drawing others to you instead of to me. I set my heart to live in light of the resurrection. Holy Spirit, help me to walk out this commitment. And these are the kind of things, you know, ARC, we can do with every scripture. Instead of just, you know, daily Bible reading, just maybe for the next month, try that. Do the ARC and read a scripture, come into agreement and pray that, and then ask for the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, and then keep the prophecy. Amen? And so there is so many descriptions of who Jesus is in the book of Revelation that we can grow in understanding who he is. Let me just give you some of them. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. He is the key of David, the faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Son of God. I will come upon you as a thief. I am coming quickly. The true witness, the Amen, he who is holy. Jesus gave descriptions of himself. He says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so growing in that understanding of who Jesus is. So let me just show you. Go to the next slide, next one. This is the promises of God that are throughout his word. How many people need healing in your body? Let's say them together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. And you just make that personal. You would make it and say, I bless the Lord, O my soul, and I don't forget any of his of your benefits, O Lord. You forgive me of all my iniquities, Lord, and you have healed me from all of my diseases. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, let's say it together. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Amen? The next promises of provision. How many are glad that he provides? You read those. You confess them. You declare them. You pray them. Promises of strength. How many need some strength? And we walk in that, in growing and knowing the Word of God and becoming alive within us. And then walking in obedience to it. I love this wisdom that comes out of the book of Proverbs. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So where's the Word of God go? You've hidden it in your heart. You put the Word in your heart. And because of that, it guards your heart. And then it goes on, it says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Do not get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So the Bible tells us here to guard our heart, and the way it tells us to do it is understanding all the gates into our life. Our eye gate, our ear gate, our tongue gate, and my feet gate, where we go. Amen? And that's what the Word of God can do in our life. It will affect everything. It'll affect every aspect of our life. Now, let's stand up. We're gonna pray. This is, we're just going to declare the Word. And I want you to just sense how something shifts in the spirit as we begin to declare the Word of God together. And we're coming into agreement with the Word. Amen? And we're speaking it by faith. All right, let's. Psalms, this is going to be Psalms 34. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their face. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all of my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even the strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for the peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. Is that it? That's it. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. And this is something that, you know, we're just going to try to put into practice. Every once in a while, we'll come to service and we're just going to get up and have a bunch of these and we're going to declare it. Lord, we declared your word. We thank you for the revelation that it brings into our life that empowers us and anoints us to overcome. We thank you, Jesus, that your word is revealing who you are. Your book is you've given to us. It's alive. It's living. It's revealing you. And that's what we really want. That's what we really need. We don't need to just know Bible verses, but we need the revelation of Jesus Christ to come alive. As we see your word, let us activate it by faith, make declaration of it, that we might see the world change around us, and most importantly, that we might be changed. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Let's praise him again. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the rich promise of your word in us activated. Praise you, Lord, for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord, for meeting our needs as we reach out to you. And thank you for speaking promises into us. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need further prayer, we're up here. God bless. Love.